Well, I thank the Lord for this worship team and the effort and the work that they put forward every week. And why don't we just thank the Lord for them. Lots of people behind the scenes back at the desk, and they do sound and they do the projections, and lots of people give of their time to allow us to worship the Lord comfortably here. Well, as we mentioned, this is Thanksgiving Sunday, and as I was thinking about this, I want to share a message with you. There is an insert in your bulletin if you want to take it out, fill it in, and take home the truths, the thoughts from this message this morning. I want to talk to you about the what, the why, and the how of Thanksgiving. The what, why, and how. We're going to ask the question, what is Thanksgiving? Why should we express Thanksgiving? And how do you maintain Thanksgiving? So those are the three questions we're going to talk about. So here's your first fill-in. What is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks. Well, that sort of seems obvious, Thanksgiving, but it's the giving of thanks. It is the verbal and physical expression of heartfelt appreciation. It's verbal, it's physical, it's an expression of heartfelt appreciation. It's not just thanks. Thanks is not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks. Not just having thanks, not just feeling thanks, but actually the giving of thanks. It seems obvious. We'd all nod our head and say, that's right. But I wonder if in practice we really understand that distinction. There's a story in the scripture in Luke chapter 17 that really draws this out. This is the story of the life of Jesus when he ministered here on earth. It says in verse 12, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God? Now this story really speaks to me because Jesus acts in a way that I wouldn't think he would have acted. It surprises me, Jesus' response. One person returned. He returned to the source of the healing. He focused on the individual who had brought his healing. He returned, actually had to turn around, go back, take steps. He returned to the one who had given him his healing. And with a loud voice, glorified. With a loud voice. Not just, thank you, that was great, appreciate it. With a loud voice, he lifted his voice with intensity, with feeling. With a loud voice, he glorifies God. And not only that, but physically, he falls on his knees. I don't know whether he grabbed the feet of Jesus, but he falls on his knees and he glorifies him and thanks him. He didn't just come and stand there and talk to him. It's almost like he went overboard, almost like he really emoted in this situation. It wasn't just a feeling. He expressed it. He knelt down. He hugged him. Maybe he was crying. I don't know. But he does this. And the response of Jesus surprises me. Because I would have thought Jesus would have said when he comes back, "Ah, you didn't know, you didn't need to come back. I know you're thankful. I know your heart. I know your thing. Hey, go on, catch up with the others. Get home to your family. Enjoy the rest of your life." You would have thought that's how Jesus would have responded. But he didn't. He says, "Were there not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Now that surprises me. He said there was only one person would come back, give glory to God. Now here's the point, folks. Do you think all 10 were happy, thankful? Man, if you had talked to any one of those people going, they would have said, "Are you thankful? I'm ecstatic." You know, they're probably laughing, they're jumping, they're maybe smiling, they're rushing, they're thinking, "Man, I can go home. I'm rid of this scourge that's kept me and separated me from my family. I can go back. I can pick up my life. Thankful? I can't tell you how thankful I am." They all had thanks in their heart. Jesus, who knew everything, would have known that. But he points something out. One returned. One focused back on him who had given it. And verbalized and glorified God and physically knelt at his feet to express it. Here's the point. Thanksgiving is more than a feeling. It's the expression of the feeling. And that this is not something that should be optional, that's just nice if you do it, but really not important, or Jesus wouldn't have responded this way. He underlines the importance of expression, and it's like this should be. In fact, one time when the crowd were yelling and screaming and waving branches and expression of worship, some of the more sophisticated people said to Jesus, "These people are carrying on too much. Tell them to be quiet." What did Jesus say? "If these be quiet, the very rocks would cry out." I'm not sure we appreciate enough the importance of expression. It's not just thanks, it's thanksgiving. And that giving is given in an expression verbally and outwardly and physical. Now, let's bring it home. Because I think about these things, I read these verses. Let's bring it from 2,000 years right up to today. And let's bring it not only today, but to this service. And let's not just bring it to this service, but let's bring it to our worship time on a Thanksgiving Sunday, coming to give thanks today in a service. Is it possible, as the Lord looked over the service today, he saw people giving expression? People who were verbalizing it and physically expressing it. And I don't know how many that would be. But maybe he looked over and he says, I'm just using this as an example. I'm not zeroing in on any of this. But just as an example, maybe he said, "I see 30 people giving worship today. But where's the other 150? Well, we're here, aren't we? If I were to interview you, say, "Yes, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for what the things he's given me. I wouldn't be in church this morning if I didn't thank the Lord." Listen, if you had said to those 9 lepers as they were going, "You know, tomorrow we're having a meeting and we want you all to express thanks." Do you think they'd be there? I think they would have been there. If it was organized, I think they would have been there. But they didn't have a personal initiative. that in that moment, beyond structure, beyond what was necessary, I'm going to return. I'm going back to the one, the source of my healing. I'm going back. I'm going to say with loud words my appreciation. I'm going to fall on my face and grab his feet and express my worship. That was not insufficient. I mean, that wasn't something the Lord says, oh, well, that was too much. He saw it as part and parcel of the whole worship experience. And what I would present to you today, that's something we can learn about what is thanksgiving, what is worship, is that it's expression. And that until you express it, you might feel it, you might have it in your heart, but it's still lacking something. It needs expression. Now, in the Bible, it talks about how people express their worship. And it says, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Singing is a way to express worship. And so if we're in a worship service and we're saying we're going to sing and the words are on the screen to sing, do we stand and listen to the other people sing? Or are we singing? And do we realize, because we think, oh, you know, I feel it in my heart. I don't like to sing, or, you know, I'm not able, or I'm not that good a singer. Now listen, I think we give a special dispensation to people who can't hold a tune. If you're here and you know I can't hold a tune, we just say to you, sing quietly. Not with a loud voice, just sing quietly. Don't disturb everyone else around you. But for most of us, we can hold a tune. And I'm not disparaging anybody that can't hold a tune. I can't tell colors. So, I mean, we all got our situations that others can do things we can't. But if you can't hold a tune, when you're alone, you just let it go. You just let it rip. You just yell out in your car as you're going and sing your worship, Lord. And I think God loves that and it receives that. But I'm talking about, the Bible says, sing to the Lord. And then it says, clap your hands, all ye people. Sometimes we clap. Well, I'm not a clapper. I think that might be too much to clap. I'll sing, but I'm not going to clap. Well, that's your right. But do you realize the physical expression is the giving of worship that the Lord expects and desires and reprimands when it's not there. And so there's the clapping of hands. And then the Bible says, shout to the Lord. Shout. Give some volume to what you're saying. Get involved. Say it. Sing it. Express it with a loud voice. Shout unto the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I mean, that's okay in some circumstances, but so much better to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The expression is part of thanksgiving. It is what makes it thanksgiving. The scripture says, lift up holy hands to the Lord. Sometimes in service, you'll see people lift their hands as they're worshiping. As they're singing, have you ever lifted your hands? Well, it's awkward to lift your hands, especially if that's not your tradition. I mean, I grew up in a church that was very expressive. But as a teenager, I still remember being in service, see people, you know, saying things and talking out and raising their hands, and I just sort of stood there. Did I know the Lord? Yeah, I was baptized and I was 8. I mean, I love God, I serve God, but in the service, I never raised my hands, I never said anything, not sure I even sang that much. And I remember reading the scripture that says to make a sacrifice of praise to the Lord, that is the fruit of your lips. Make a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of your lips. And I remember as a teenager reading that, thinking to myself, oh, the sacrifice is getting my body to say something, and the fruit of my lips would be words. So when I see people in the service saying, thank you, Lord, or glory to the Lord, or hallelujah, that's not just something they're doing, that's just what they're... No, they are giving a sacrifice of praise. They are letting their lips say something. The fruit of their lips. And that the Lord says that's part of it. And I remember intentionally the next time in service, and I tell you, it is tough because you know how it is. I mean, you're there, and even when everyone else around you is expressive, it's still hard. And glory to God, you know, just sort of praising the Lord, but very quietly. Hadn't got to the loud part yet. I remember the first time I raised my hands. I felt for sure everybody was looking at me. He's raising his hands. He's raising his hands over there. And don't we all feel that way? So hard to get our hands up. But listen, if it's done from the heart, if it's done as a result of, I want to express my thanks, Lord, I give myself to you. I offer my praise to you, Lord. And your body begins to express what your spirit is feeling. Now there's a release of worship in you that will not happen any other way. We get to thinking, as long as I feel it inside, it's sufficient. And everything we read in the scripture says it's not sufficient. That God desires more, and it's better for you. There's something when you release it, there's a flow through you that brings you into the presence of the Lord. Now listen, I still have to remind myself. We were away at Gateway last week. Huge church, sits 5,000 people. Lights, smoke, lights swirling. And I'm there and I'm sort of looking at everything, you know, and looking around because it's new. You're looking at everything. And I had to remind myself, Ken, enter in. Ken, you can be an observer here or you can worship here. And just to return and focus in, say, okay, I'm singing these words. These words are an expression of worship to God. And you begin to focus in. So glad for my dad who told me when I was a young person, he'd say to me, Kenny, in the service, and he'd use that phrase, enter in, enter in. There's something about entering into a worship service. You might have worship in the heart, but the way you enter in is by verbalizing, by physically expressing. Now, I know we all have different personalities, and everyone doesn't have to say it the same way, and everyone doesn't have to do it to the same intensity. But I would say this, you need to find some way to verbalize your praise. You need to find some way that's natural to you to express it in a physical way. There are God-given ways here. It even says in the scripture in Psalm 148, 149, 152, to praise him on stringed instruments and to praise him with the flute and praise him with percussion instruments. So the drums and the guitars, they're worship to God. They're a way of physically expressing worship. Those players are worshiping in the Lord with their instrument. Sanctioned by Scripture that that's a way. When you speak, when you shout, when you bow down, when you kneel, they are all physical expressions of worship to God that are God-given ways. Don't put yourself beyond it. Don't say, well, that's for them, it's not for me. I'm going to be aloof. I'm going to stand back. You do it at your own peril. You do it at your own, limiting the work of God in your life. Worship is meant to be expressed. It's meant to be entered into. And if you don't, you're depriving yourself of something that would release God's Spirit through you. I have found the more ways I find of expressing my worship and praise to God that is legitimately there, the more ways I find to do that, the more I feel his presence. The more I feel the flow through my life. So I encourage you, I challenge you to know what thanksgiving is and to enter in. Now here's the second question. Why should we express thanksgiving? Why? Now listen, this is very powerful, and fill in this statement because here's the answer to it. The reason for thanksgiving is to deal with pride and produce humility and faith within us. That's really it, folks. You deal with your pride, and it produces humility and faith within you. You see, it's not just a nicety, a social grace. You know, we say to our children when they're handed something, you say, "Now, what do you say? What do you say? Say thank you." And so you want, what if they just said, "I feel it inside. I don't have to say anything." And you say, "No, no, say thank you. Say thank you." And sometimes we sort of think that that's how it is in the spiritual realm. It's just a nicety. It's just sort of showing that you have manners to say thank you. But it goes way beyond that. And we sort of feel like there's really nothing at stake if I don't. Like a child, well, I mean, how does it change the universe if a child doesn't say thank you for a cookie? And so we sort of feel the same in the spiritual realm. God knows all things. I mean, whether I actually clap my hands, raise my hands, say anything, it really doesn't matter. I want you to know there's something in the giving of thanks that does this. Now, here's why. Thanksgiving, this is your filling, thanksgiving is an expression of humility. It's an expression of humility. The definition of humility, you can write this in your filling. Recognizing that God and others are actually responsible for the achievements in my life. God and others are actually responsible for the achievements in my life. That's humility. Humility isn't denying the achievement. I've had some people, I've complimented on something and they'll say, "Oh, that's nothing. You know, anybody could have done that." And I'm thinking, no, not everyone would have done that. And that wasn't nothing. That was really something you did there. But we think humility is denying the achievement. But it's not. It's acknowledging the achievement, but realizing that it's God and others that have fed into me that allowed me to do this. Many times people will say to me, "I really enjoyed that message. You're a great teacher." And I think to myself, now, I used to, in early days, say, no, I sort of follow the same line. No, it was nothing, it wasn't that great. And yeah, And so, but I realized, no, that helped people. I realized I was able to explain that. And God used me in that. Now, here's the difference. Humility realizes that's a gift from God. That's not something I achieved on my own. That's just a gifting, just like we all have giftings. We're all a 10 at something that God's given you. And so you can use that gift, you can hone it, you can polish it, but really, it's a God-given gift. So how do you take credit for something that God's given you? And also, other people taught us. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. You didn't come up with any idea that's original to you. It's all been thought of, done before. Nothing's new under the sun. So why would we take credit for it? It's only pride comes when we say, "Yeah, did you see what I did? I'm pretty special. I'm sure glad you noticed that. Not very many people could do that. I did that on my own. And I'm glad you acknowledged it." And then you feel bad when they don't acknowledge it. Well, they should have said thanks to me for that because I put a lot of work and effort into that. And we get upset. We feel snubbed. We feel hurt. We feel offended. Someone didn't give us the appreciation we should have gotten. That's pride. Humility says, there's nothing of me. I'm just an instrument that God used. Can the scalpel that a surgeon uses take pride in what it accomplished? No, it's a surgeon. Surgeons. Wisdom and capability and skill. The scalpel was just an instrument. Same with us. God uses us as instruments. We can't take credit. The more you yield to God, then the more he's going to use you. Now, the more you express thanksgiving to God and to other people, it produces that humility within you. The more you can deflect a compliment to God and to others, the better. Acknowledging the achievement, but saying, you know, really, God help me. I can't do that on my own, but God really, he helped me do that. And or so-and-so taught me, and they were a good example to me and a model to me, and I'd never be the parent I am today if I didn't have that example before me. And you always deflect. Humility expresses thanksgiving. So thankfulness is an expression of humility. The more that you can do it, and the more it shows. Now listen to the verse here in 1 Corinthians 4:7. It's in your notes. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So this is saying exactly what I've already shared with you. Why would we think we're different than anyone else? Special. God is the one that gave it to us. We receive whatever we receive from someone else. What you are is the sum product of people that have invested in your life, who have taught you, been an example to you, encouraged you. So why do we boast? So you can see how all of this plays in. Now here's the last dimension of this. It builds faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is expressed when you are hoping for something because you don't have it. Or you're thanking you're laying hold of something you don't see yet, but it hasn't come, it hasn't materialized. Now that's faith. Now I want you to see how this works with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Just the good things or the bad things? No, bad things would be included in the everything. When you're going through a tough time, when you're going through a situation, you understand why it's happened. When you've lost your job, there's a sickness in the family, you've had a setback, something's broken down, something, you know, car's broken, and you go, oh, man, why is this happening? See, nothing happens to you. It always happens for you. And what you need to do is thank God in that situation. No matter what it is, you give thanks to God. You say, God, you're in control of all things. You work all things together for good. The bad things you work for good. The things that I thought were damaging to me, you're working it together for good. And as you express thanksgiving, you can only express thanksgiving genuinely if you have faith. You're hoping for something you don't see yet. You know, you want the substance of things, something that you don't have. So you're hoping for something, you don't see it yet, that's faith. And when you thank God in the difficult situation, when everyone is in despair, your heart is thankful. You say, God, I don't understand why this is happening, but I know you've got a bigger plan. You're bigger than this situation. You know, this week I was listening to Joel Osteen, and he used an example. I'd heard the example before, and maybe you'd heard it before, but he brought it fresh to my mind because I heard it in the message. He said that this guy was on an island. He had been shipwrecked on this island, so he was making the best of what he could do, and he had built this little hut and got it finally. You know, he had some cover and some shelter, took pride in it, had a little fireplace out in front, and he was sort of enjoying, even though he was marooned, at least he had sort of gotten together his life, and he had something that he could call home. Well, he was off across the island, and all of a sudden he looked over, and his hut's on fire. Apparently the coals in the fireplace or something had gotten into the hut, and it's burning. He starts running back, and he gets back to his hut, and it's burned completely to the ground. And the smoke is going up, and he's all upset, and he's thinking to himself, God, you know, I'm shipwrecked here, and this is the one little pleasure I had in all my work, and it's all gone up in smoke, and I just don't know why this would happen. It was only a little while later, he saw a ship coming. And the ship came in and rescued him. He was all excited and happy. He said, how did you know I was here? He said, well, we saw the fire you set in the smoke. He said, we saw that. Now, that's a simple little story. But it illustrates the things that we think are bad, God can turn it for good. And so when you're going through a tough time and something's burned up in your life, rather than getting all upset and concerned, give God thanks for it. You are doing it by faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. You're giving the Lord something that you haven't seen yet, but you're saying, God, I know your work and I don't understand well or ever understand it. I know you have a plan and you're working it out. And so this is not a small thing, Thanksgiving. When Thanksgiving is a part of your life, you're cutting right to the quick of your spiritual life. You're getting right to the heart of it, of your spiritual walk. Thanksgiving is fundamental to it. It's a fundamental component. It should be, Thanksgiving should be always be on our lips for everything. In everything, give thanks. All things give thanks. You need it for humility, to overcome your pride and to build faith in your heart. Thanksgiving. Let's move quickly to our last how. How do you maintain Thanksgiving? And here's your fill-in. You maintain Thanksgiving by setting up monuments of thanksgiving. Monuments of thanksgiving. Looked up the meaning of the word monument. Monument is something set up to keep alive the memory of a person or an event. You set up a monument, and it reminds you of what had happened. Now, I grew up in Hamilton. Part of Hamilton is Stony Creek, and I don't know anyone that has been to Hamilton or Stony Creek. There's the Stony Creek Monument, and it's a monument. It's a tall sphere that goes up, and it's a monument of Canadians winning a battle over the Americans in the War of 1812. I grew up driving by that many times, saw the monument, the Stony Creek Monument it was known as, and I didn't think it would have much significance in my life until I got married. And my wife is an American, and we were chatting one day about who won the War of 1812, and she claimed the Americans had won it. And I said, oh, no, no, I said the Canadians won that battle. She said, oh, no, no, we won that battle. I said, well, I beg to differ with you on that issue. Well, we were out driving, and I sort of went out of my way a little bit and drove by the Stony Creek Monument and actually pulled in front of it. And she said, what's this? I said, that's the Stony Creek Monument. And I said, that's a monument to the fact that we won the battle. We pushed back the Americans. She said, well, we didn't lose the war. They lost the battle. We didn't lose the war. Well, we didn't have Google in those days, so we looked it up in the encyclopedia, and it said both sides claimed victory and went home. But I did say to her, we're still Canadians here. So Americans went home. Monuments. You know, what we did today is a monument, a memorial here. As we remember the Lord's body that was broken, his blood that was shed, even Thanksgiving Day is a bit of a monument. We're setting up a time here today, second Monday of October. It's Canadian Thanksgiving. So it all speaks, and I'm talking about Thanksgiving today. Why? Because we're at a monument. So it's important to set up monuments to remember. Now listen, let's close with this portion of Scripture in Joshua 4 and verse 5. This is when they crossed the Jordan to enter into the promised land. Joshua said to them, this was the elders of the tribes, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that they may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. And the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So what happened is the Lord split the waters of the Jordan. He told the elders, when you go, you take a stone from the middle of the river. and you take a good-sized stone, you put it up on your shoulder, and you carry it out of the water. So they carried it out, and they set up a memorial, these pile of 12 stones. So that in later years, when you're there with your children, and your children say, "What are these stones here?" You'd say, "Well, let me tell you. You know where those stones came from? They came from the center of the Jordan. How did they? The Lord split the waters. The Lord delivered us. God wanted us to be in this land. He provided a way for us to enter. God is real. God does miracles. We need to worship God." A memorial was set up so that they could tell their children. I would encourage you this morning, set up monuments, set up memorials to the times and the ways God has worked in your life. Now, it may not be a physical building of something, but some way, find something that memorializes, and that's your last fill-in, memorialize God's intervention in your life. Whenever you saw God do something special in your life, make a memorial to it. Do it in some way. I know over the years when I've had special times the Lord has moved in my life, I've written it out. And I have a file with the different times God has worked in my life. And I'll read them over and I'll forget the details. And I'll be, "Oh yeah, God." I mean, I have one when I was 21 years of age and God worked in my life. And I read it over and I go, "Wow, even today, God is fulfilling that in my life." Write out things that God intervened in your life. Sometimes just writing it down is a bit of a memorial. You can give thanks to someone else for what they did by writing them a note, sending them a card, and saying thank you for what you did. That expression of thanksgiving is so valuable. And we mentioned earlier that Pastor Larry was ordained yesterday, and some of our elders had to be away. Reed Cressman, who is one of our elders, they're away in Sarnia, and he couldn't be here. And he sent an email to Larry just saying, "I'm sorry I can't be there." And then he went on to say how he had observed Larry being a benefit to the church and how he had benefited him personally. Larry showed that to me with great humility. He said, "You got to see what Reed sent me." And when I read it, I said, "That is such a treasure." And I read it at his ordination service yesterday. Now, no one asked Reed to do it. If you had have asked any of you, would you write something about that? I'm sure you all would have done it. But thanksgiving is something where you take the personal initiative to return and to express. And I could tell it was such a strengthening to Larry. He was beaming, just saying, "I can't believe he wrote that. That is such an encouragement to me." Do you see how a small note to someone that's blessed your life can be that to them? Think of the people in your life who've sown into you, that's benefited you. Why don't you write them a card? Write them a note. Just express somehow. Give them a gift. Say, "I just want to appreciate what you did." It can be any way to memorialize what's happened. Some people are more gifted. They write a poem. Some people write a song. It depends. We all have different abilities. But find some way to make a physical expression of the thankfulness that you have in your heart for someone. Memorialize it. It can be as simple. I remember my dad. I'd be in the truck with my dad as a boy because he had a trucking business along with the farm. And we'd be driving. I still remember this one time. He said, "See that spot in the road right there, Kenny?" I'd look. He said, "God met me right there." And then he'd tell me the story, how God met him. And sometimes it wasn't like a spectacular story, but it was somehow God made himself real to him. And he would do that different times. Sometimes on the farm, he'd point to a place in the field and say, "You know, God met me right there," and he'd tell me the story. And then in relationship, he'd say to me, and you've heard me say this many times, he'd say to me, "Kenny, God will make himself real to you having those places, those times, and expressing that thanksgiving puts seeds in our children and the people around us that can encourage them to enter in and to experience all that God has for them. So how do we maintain our forgiveness? Find ways to memorialize it in some way, whether it be to God, whether it be to other people around you, but express your thanksgiving. Don't box it up. Be like the lady who took the alabaster box and she broke the box at the feet of Jesus. And it was a very costly ointment. And they even complained, oh, they're wasting this. And just said, let her be. You know, why don't you break the box of praise that you have within you? Because I think we all have it. But how are you expressing it? Are you worshiping? Are you showing it to others? Are you gaining humility and faith because you're thanking God in all things? And are you doing things that will build people up? That's my encouragement to you today. The what, the why, the how of thanksgiving. Just stand with me. Would you just lift your hands in front of you to receive? Lord, we want to receive the truth of this message this morning. We want to receive it in the depths of our heart. We want to be worshipers. We want to be givers of thanks 24/7, 365 days a year. Lord, help us to thank you for everything. Everything, thank you. To thank you for the weather. To thank you for the day. To thank you for the smallest things that come into our life, to say, thank you, Lord, thank you, verbally and with our body expressing it. Lord, work in our hearts and our lives. May this be more than a Thanksgiving Sunday, but may it cultivate ongoing, sincere praise and worship to you every day of the year. I pray that for myself, for this entire congregation, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody said, amen.